mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, nearly 9 in 10 Americans say they are concerned about cognitive decline as they age, although only one-third think there's anything they can do about it. But you might be surprised. Also this morning, donating money, donating blood, and donating time. Red Cross Giving Day this week offers several ways to help your neighbors in times of need. In case you missed it, March is DD Awareness Month, highlighting the many ways Blanchard Valley Center serves the local developmentally disabled community. And it's time to celebrate spring with April events and programs from the Hancock Park District. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Tuesday, March 25th, 2025. I don't know if you saw this. If you are an alumni of The Ohio State University, better plan to begin deleting all of your emails or saving those somewhere if you want to save them, because the university is going to start wiping out the alumni email accounts very soon. I don't know if you use your OSU email. Officials at the university previously announced they were ending the Buckeye Mail for Life service this spring. So email accounts belonging to anyone who is not an active student or who did not graduate within the last 2 years being shut down beginning a week from today, right? April 1st is a week from today, and that is no fooling. This is not an April Fool's joke. If you use your osu.edu email, the Buckeye Mail for Life plan, that is going away as of the first of the month. University officials are urging people to update their contact information with a different email address before that date as well, if you want to continue to get alumni information moving forward. So if you're using that service, note that it is going away. Just thought I saw that on the Newswire. Thought, should probably point that out. You are a graduate of The Ohio State University. Couple of other interesting items here. Among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. This is incredible scientific research here. This is incredible. What is your earliest memory as a child? If you think back, what is the first thing that you can remember as a child? While researchers once thought that the fact that you don't remember things from when you were an infant, when you were a little baby. Usually it's what, 2, 3, 4 years old, somewhere in there. You start remembering things. Researchers once thought that this was because of an underdeveloped brain. When you're in that infant / early toddler range. But scientists from Yale University have uncovered data which seems to suggest that the brains of infants can, in fact, form memories that we do not remember as adults. And they have a couple of potential explanations for this. Number one, they say the early memories, they theorize the early memories are not converted into long-term memories. Or, theory number two, we still have our infant memories, but we just cannot access them. They are stored away deep in our brains, deep in our gray matter someplace, but we are not able to access them. And so Professor Nick Turk-Brown says, we are working to track the durability of those memories from the earliest days of life, and they are hoping to begin to entertain the radical, almost sci-fi possibility that they may endure in some form into adulthood and could possibly be unlocked somehow. How cool would that be? Although, I don't know, how much of what happened to you as an infant do you want to remember? I don't know how far back they think that our memories go. I'm not sure how far back I would want my memory to go. But That's what they say. Yale University. They believe that they may be able to unlock those memories from even before we can remember today, you know, all the way back to infancy. And I'm interesting. Sci-fi, the stuff that sci-fi stories are made of, indeed. So make of that what you will. Let's see. What else is going on here? Among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. This has been kind of an ongoing story, really over the past couple of years, that younger generations today are drinking less. However, that despite reports that younger generations are drinking less, an estimated 1 in 6 adults are still binge drinkers. This according to the latest County Health Rankings and Roadmaps report from the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. All right. It sounds very official. Binge drinking is defined as either 4 or 5 drinks in one sitting or one occasion, rapid succession. And heavy drinking is defined as 8 or more drinks for women in 1 week, or 15 for men. And they say that overall, younger generations may be drinking less, but when we do, apparently we go all out. Or they, I say we, I'm not the younger generations anymore. Sometimes I think I am, but I'm not. But younger generations may not be drinking as much overall, but when they do, they tend to go out, go all out, apparently. Binge drinking and heavy drinking, not necessarily healthy. In addition to the heavy drinking definition of 8 or more drinks for women in 1 week, 15 or more for men, drinking while pregnant or underage is also qualified as excessive drinking. And so overall, drinking less, which may be a good thing, but when we do, or when they do, the younger generations, there I go again, drinking more heavily. So something to consider there. And maybe it's because we want to forget. We don't want those memories. I don't know. And speaking of interesting research here, this was kind of interesting off the Newswire this morning. Research has now found that kids, and it's interesting, but it is also kind of obvious. I think this is one of those confirming what we already knew sort of research projects. Research has now found that kids who use mobile devices more often tend to have more stress and depressive symptoms as teenagers. Let me repeat that. Kids who use mobile devices more often tend to have more stress and more depressive symptoms as teens. Again, research from the file of Duh. This was an 8-year study which tracked kids from elementary school all the way to adolescence and discovered that screen time and physical fitness seem to have a greater impact on teen mental health than even diet quality and sleep. So with all this focus on getting kids to eat healthier, what we really need to be doing is focusing on their screen time and their physical activity. Researchers recommend limiting screens and encouraging supervised sports. So get them. What have, again, this is research from the file of Duh. What have we said for years and years and years? Get them off their screens and outside. Nice weather is coming. Spring and summer, instead of letting them sit in front of their screens, get them off the couch and get them active. And this research supports that idea. I know, it's crazy talk. It's just amazing. Amazing. Like I said, research that kind of confirms what we inherently already knew, I guess. Although maybe these teenagers are stressed, not because of all of the screen time, but just because of where they live. According to a new report from WalletHub, they compared all 50 states on metrics like affordable housing, average number of hours worked, number of adults with enough sleep, and they have come up with a list of the most and least stressed states in the U.S. And Nebraska is the least stressed state in America. Nebraska. So if you're too stressed, pack up and move to the Cornhusker state. After Nebraska comes Minnesota, New Hampshire, and South Dakota. Those are the least stressed states in the country. Flip side of that, New Mexico is the most stressed, followed by Nevada and Louisiana. And Ohio, by the way, ranks 28th overall, number 28 on the list of the most stressed states. So if you want to de-stress, you can either turn off your screens, go outside, get active, or you can just move to Nebraska, apparently. That's the message. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Tuesday morning started here.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly sunny and breezy today with a high in the upper 40s, partly cloudy tonight, a low around 30. An Ohio community is closely monitoring federal agency cuts and is concerned about a lack of communication between federal officials and local managers.
An estimated 14,000 people in the greater Cincinnati area could be affected by federal workforce cuts. The Cincinnati Inquirer reports that the city's federal payroll stretches across 20 different agencies. The Environmental Protection Agency is among the most prominent, with 9 area locations. National reports suggest that the agency could cut up to 75% of its jobs. A lack of communication between federal officials, local managers, and employees has resulted in great uncertainty and the inability to plan.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. Finley High School government students spent part of their spring break at the Ohio State House for the Ohio Youth and Government Conference. The students spent time in committee meetings and on the House and Senate floors debating bills and presenting their own. The students spent time debating the constitutionality of bills, lobbied for causes, and walked away with 2 bills signed into law by the youth governor. Finley City Schools says the students were incredible representatives of the school district and were eloquent, insightful, and had great ideas. See some pictures from the Ohio Youth and Government Conference in this story on our website. Blanchard Valley Health System says community members caring for loved ones with dementia, Parkinson's, or other chronic illnesses can learn tools and strategies to help them during an upcoming class at Blanchard Valley Hospital. BVHS says caregiving can be emotionally stressful and financially taxing, and in the class, they'll cover resources that can help lessen that stress. They want caregivers who attend the class to recognize that they are not alone. The class will be held on April 23rd. There's no charge, but pre-registration is required as participation is limited. Get more on the class in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, to your health this morning, this is kind of the opposite of something we were talking about yesterday morning on the program about early brain development in children. According to a new survey by the McKnight Brain Research Foundation, 87% of Americans are concerned about age-related memory loss and decline in brain function. But only 32% believe that there is something that they can do about it. Well, yes, you are right to be concerned, but no, it is not entirely beyond your control. Joining us this morning is Dr. Patricia Boyle, professor of behavioral sciences and psychiatry and a member of the McKnight Brain Research Foundation Board of Trustees. And Dr. Boyle, what is cognitive aging and its effects from a clinical perspective? I mean, we've all forgotten where we left our car keys, or we walk into a room and can't remember why we are there. That's not necessarily cause for alarm, right?
Absolutely. You're right. And you give 2 great examples. Those sorts of mild changes in memory or thinking, those can happen as just part of the normal aging process. So just as our bodies age, you know, we may feel like, you know, we're a little bit slower as we get older, moving around, a little more aches and pains. So our brain ages too. So cognitive aging or brain aging is part of a normal developmental process that happens throughout the lifespan. In early childhood, our brains grow and develop at a very rapid pace. And then as we age, our brains change in ways that can affect things like learning and memory. Those types of examples you gave, those are sort of typical normal changes, typically are not associated with, you know, a disease or a need for any intervention.
Yeah.
However, we can see more significant changes. For example, if someone is asking the same questions repeatedly, having trouble following directions, you know, getting confused sort of easily. And a common one that we hear about is getting lost while driving in a familiar place. So someone may leave their house hoping to go to a grocery store. 30 minutes later, you know, they look up and they don't know where they are and may not even recall where they were intending to go.
Yeah.
When we see changes like that, there's reason for concern and maybe a trip to the doctor.
So again, referencing that survey that only 1 in 3 people believe that there is, you know, that 1 in 3 people believe that there is nothing we can do about this issue, that in fact is not the case. So what steps can we take to maintain cognitive health?
There is a lot we can do to maintain cognitive health. And that's an important mission of the McKnight Brain Research, is to let how to go about this. So essentially, maintaining an active and engaged lifestyle is the best thing we can do. Doing things that are good for our overall health, like exercising, eating a healthy diet, getting the recommended 7 to 8 hours of sleep, those are all hugely important for brain health. In addition to that, and sometimes this is a little less well publicized, we know that psychological factors are also very important for maintaining brain health. So, for example, maintaining social connections, being around people you like, where you feel connected and cared for, is very important, as well as maintaining a positive psychological outlook. Look, those things can protect against age-related diseases in the brain and help us function well as we get older. So, for example, there, you know, research has shown that having a sense of purpose in life, you know, that your life is meaningful and you're goal-directed, is very important and very protective against declining brain health as we age. So we really want to take care of not only our bodies, but our minds in terms of mental stimulation, and also our minds in terms of our psychological.
Now, of course, none of that is to say that we won't experience cognitive decline at some point. There are no guarantees here.
Correct. Some people will still experience late life cognitive decline, and some will experience dementia. You know, but of the things that are available to us now, and that can, you know, ward off these things to some degree, you know, maintaining activity is key to that. And that's really what we need to focus on, is sort of a healthy aging profile overall, which is good for brain health and also overall health.
Yeah. The point being, you can do all the right things, quote unquote, right things, everything possible that we know to do to maintain your brain health, and still have some of these issues. And kind of going back to what you were talking about earlier, part of what we need is to be more open to admitting and having discussions about issues that may be coming up with ourselves and with our loved ones.
Absolutely. These things can happen. They do happen to some people, aging-related diseases, Alzheimer's, and so on, as they get older. And, you know, the best thing we can do in those cases is recognize the signs early. Get an evaluation from your doctor. And, you know, there are interventions that are available that can help to some degree. But also there's a lot that we can do in the home environment to modify how things are set up to make home life more comfortable and more manageable for people that do have cognitive problems. So, yes, getting ahead of it, you know, and being able to recognize it getting the help you need is key there.
That's the phrase that I was looking for, getting ahead of it as much as we possibly can. And we do know more now about, as we were mentioning, things that we can do to stave off any cognitive decline as best as possible. We do know how to manage it a little bit better when we catch it in the earliest stages. How close are we to kind of cracking the code of what causes things like age-related memory loss in all of its forms?
That's the billion-dollar question, right? You know, I don't have a clear answer for you on that one. Mm-hmm. Cognitive decline and Alzheimer's disease, these are very complex diseases that we now understand begin much earlier in life than we initially realized. And so they're going to take, you know, sort of complicated approaches to effectively prevent and treat them when it comes to the point of actual dementia. There is a lot of great research going on right now, new interventions, new treatments coming online. But I think we still have a lot to understand with these complex diseases.
Worth underscoring, though, the point that you make that we now know that this has its genesis much earlier in life than maybe what we used to believe, just underscores the importance of doing all of those things that you were mentioning earlier to keep our brain health in optimum condition, just like any other organ of the body or any other part of the body that we continue to exercise and make use of in order to keep it in tip-top shape.
Absolutely. That's a great point. You know, there's never a time that's too soon to start thinking about brain aging and brain health as we age. What we want to do is have an active and engaged lifestyle from as early as possible in our lives throughout the end, because all we're doing there is building up resilience, building up brain health, giving our brain more efficiency and more fuel to be well as we age. So absolutely, we should be doing these things throughout our life course.
Dr. Patricia Boyle, again, is professor of behavioral sciences and psychiatry and a member of the McKnight Brain Research Foundation Board of Trustees. Where do we get more information?
So as you mentioned, I'm with the McKnight Brain Research Foundation. Our website has excellent resources there, including tips for maintaining healthy aging, the latest research findings in this area, and questions to ask your doctor if you are concerned about a problem. Our website is mcknightbrain.org/brainworks. And I encourage everybody to check out this great resource.
Dr. Boyle, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, you know, we were talking about this a little bit last week as part of Spring Severe Weather Awareness Week in Ohio. Already, 2025 has set a staggering pace for American Red Cross volunteers who have responded to big disasters like the record wildfires in Southern California, the floods in the Southeast and the Mid-Atlantic. And this, after 2024, saw the second highest number of billion-dollar disasters in a single year on record. With March being Red Cross Month, we are joined by Ann McKeo. She is Chief Development Officer with the American Red Cross. Ann, talk about the ways that the Red Cross has been helping those who have been affected by these devastating events.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Red Cross volunteers are now responding to nearly twice as many major disasters as a decade ago. And oftentimes, simultaneously across multiple states. I mean, just in the last 72 hours, with wildfires in Oklahoma, tornadoes in Missouri and Arkansas and Mississippi, the pace has just been unrelentless. And this is on top of massive disasters like every day, like home fires and local storms.
Right.
So when the work happens, generous donations really make it possible for our volunteers to be there, right? We're providing people a safe place to sleep, nutritious meals, you know, critical relief supplies, and immediate financial assistance. I mean, when a disaster takes everything from you, having a Red Cross volunteer there to wrap a blanket around your shoulders, give you a hug, and help you navigate the trauma that you're facing is just priceless. We deliver hope each and every day to millions of families across.
I was gonna ask about that, you know, to kind of put a human face on this, because at the root of all of these disasters are the families who are coping with all of this.
Yeah, and you know, we're really seeing a, sort of a hidden toll, you know, on communities. Exactly, you know, the disasters impact people's long-term health problems, both physical and mental. I mean, imagine you have to flee your home at a moment's notice. You know, fire is raging down a mountain. You grab whatever you can. Mm-hmm. I mean, the trauma is overwhelming, and it really strikes a blow to people's mental health, both now and in the days and weeks to come.
And
it can also really have consequences for people's health challenges.
Yeah.
People leave behind medications and, you know, we oftentimes do a lot of work replacing those lost prescriptions and medical equipment, and then having our trained workers really help people cope with the chronic illnesses that get really aggravated through the trauma of disaster. And not to mention, I just can't underestimate the mental health and emotional support that people need as they go through these disasters.
And when we talk about coping, obviously we want the attention to be focused on the individuals and the families who are in need. But what about the Red Cross itself? I mean, this ever-increasing number of massive disasters certainly must take a toll both physically and emotionally on the folks who are coming in to provide that relief.
Yeah, we are so fortunate. 90% of our workforce are volunteers, people who are ready to go, who are trained, and we are constantly registering and training new volunteers. It's a big focus of ours because every community across the country is getting impacted one way or another, and we want to make sure we've got people on the ground ready to go and help those in need when they need it.
And again, as you were mentioning, it's not just the big disasters that make headlines. It's the everyday disasters that happen in communities every single day, like house fires and, you know, smaller scale floods and things of that nature. And as you mentioned, it has to take a financial toll as well. We mentioned that March is Red Cross Month. Wednesday of this week specifically is Red Cross Giving Day to raise funds for those disaster relief efforts. Why is it important? I mean, because whenever a disaster strikes, we hear the immediate appeals for donations. You also make the point that it's important for people to give now before the disasters strike.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we want to make sure our Red Cross volunteers are trained. Oftentimes, they are the first ones on the scene. Right? Opening shelters, comforting families. Like, we can mobilize at a moment's notice because of pre-disaster donations. That includes, again, training our volunteers, making sure our warehouses are stocked with relief supplies, our disaster vehicles are equipped and ready to go. Oftentimes people are trapped in their homes or and can't get to a shelter. We want to be able to bring food to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's also incredibly important is our computer systems, making sure that they are able to deploy quickly to provide financial assistance. I mean, that's so critical, helping families. There's so many urgent expenses, you know, clothing, groceries, transportation, replacing lost items, home repairs. So those donations help make sure we are there, positioned when the disaster happens. And at the pace in which we're dealing with disasters today, that is happening again, multiple states, multiple communities, each and every day.
So many layers to this that maybe we don't often think about. So how can folks help?
Well, you can donate today at redcross.org. We aim to rally 30,000 supporters to help us make sure that families don't face these disasters alone. A donation of any size can make a difference in doing everything we've talked about: shelter, food, supplies, emotional support, financial assistance for those who just lose everything when these disasters strike.
The other thing that I want to mention is obviously the Red Cross, in addition to the disaster relief efforts, the other thing that you are known for are the blood drives. You are also highlighting the fact that these disasters have forced the cancellation of a number of blood drives, even while the need increases. It's kind of a double whammy, and we've talked about this before as well. Talk a little bit more about the impact of that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the frequency and the severity of, right, these extreme weather events are really putting a real challenge on the collection of blood and the distribution of blood. So just in the last 6 months, the storm systems that have wreaked havoc in various parts of the country have forced tens of thousands of blood donations to go uncollected. And the need for blood is constant. Every 2 seconds, someone in the United States needs blood. So our blood donors really play a critical role in our disaster response. Giving blood helps to ensure that patients have access to the care they need, no matter when or where a disaster strikes.
So another way that folks can give when they hear those appeals, and again, the need is constant. Ann McKeo is Chief Development Officer with the American Red Cross. So we mentioned March, American Red Cross Month, and Wednesday the 26th, specifically Red Cross Giving Day. Mention again the website where folks can learn more.
Yes, please visit redcross.org, where you can donate financially. You can register to donate blood, or you can register to become a trained volunteer with the American Red Cross, redcross.org.
You can actually even do all three, which would be even better.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Ann McKeo, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Well, March is DD Awareness Month, and to cap it off this evening, Blanchard Valley Center is hosting their annual Celebrity Basketball Game. It's happening at Findlay High School. Doors open at 6 o'clock. The game begins at 7. Admission to the event is free, but you want to bring some cash because there are a number of fundraisers, including a 50-50, a half-court shot contest, plenty of concessions. And of course, fun for all, celebrating inclusion for those with developmental disabilities. In case you missed it earlier this month, we highlighted the many ways the Blanchard Valley Center serves the local DD community. Carrie Taylor and Nadine Weininger joined us in the studio. Earlier this week, a number of folks were down in Columbus to meet with legislators at the State House and all of that. So,
yes, our advocacy group, members from Action Club, attended the State House along with other county board representatives throughout the state to talk about policies that impact people with developmental disabilities and what they stand for.
More than just photo ops. I mean, obviously a lot of pictures, and it's really cool to get the opportunity to go on the State House floor, but important to put a face on those policies because it does become very easy to sort of look at the numbers and, you know, the bottom line of what can we afford to do, what we can't do, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. But when you actually put a face on it, it makes it very real.
Hopefully that's the impact being made.
Yeah. It also speaks to the fact that this is not an organization, Blanchard Valley Center is not an operation that operates in a vacuum, in a bubble. It takes an entire community to serve those that you serve.
There's so many opportunities, so many things that advocacy, SSA, Project Life, which is for adults that just graduated who are looking at the employment field, and we're there to go out and try new things.
That is I know that's an ongoing advocacy that you have for employers in the area to make sure that those who are part of the developmentally disabled community have meaningful, gainful employment.
Oh, that's huge. So on the cover of the Courier today, above the fold, we have a representative, Jackson Dole, and his family. Jackson is currently going through our Project Life program. It's his second year, and he's had work rotations out at Culver's, out at the YMCA, GSW. GSW coming on board as a work rotation was absolutely huge and impactful for us, being a manufacturing site. So we're really excited to see that program grow, and it's just there's the parents, the individuals who are directly impacted, it's very impactful. It's making a difference in their lives. Parents are seeing that I don't have to shelter my adult child with a disability. they can do so much more. And that's what we want to highlight.
It's one of the things that in recent years, there has been a concerted effort to make sure that families who are impacted with family members on that spectrum, and as well as the community at large, to understand that these are not individuals who are going to be, for lack of a better term, and I hate to use this, but burdens on society for an entire lifetime.
And that's what this whole month is all about. Yes. It's to highlight the value that people with disabilities bring to the table.
Yeah.
But we got to give them a chance. Mm-hmm. We have to let, you know, we have to give time to expose what their capabilities are and what their contributions can be.
And that can range from one individual to the next.
Absolutely.
So it's a,
just
it's
like
a very,
you and I.
Right. Yeah. It's a very personalized type of thing. And one of the reasons why you need a well-rounded number of employers who are willing to go out and take that chance.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it exposes. So we've had like restaurant exposure. We've had now manufacturing. Mm-hmm. We've had the Y involved. Who else? The library. That's another one. So mm-hmm. I think it's just finding everyone's niche. But that's just the same as you and I.
And it's so neat to see these people go beyond and these places hiring them. Mm-hmm. You know, they might not even complete Project Life and they're like, we want them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's such a success, you know, just to see that.
Absolutely. You have a number of folks, again, part of DD Awareness Month, coming in to read to the younger kids.
Yes. So our staff pair up with an individual that we support, and we are going out to about 40 different classes throughout the month of
Very
March.
Cool.
Yes. I think that totals about 900 students, which is phenomenal. It's the most we've ever done. Mm-hmm. We're also doing these pop-up popcorn stands. We're known for popcorn out at the fair, so we kind of want to do a road show with our popcorn, and it's a way to just connect with our community. We're not really a visit site. Our office people don't just stop in to chat. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to go to the people and give an opportunity for them to ask all the questions that they might have of us, but also for us to engage with them and know more about what they're doing.
Another big event that's coming up a little bit later on this month is the Celebrity Basketball Game. It's been going on for years and years and years.
Yes, it is March 25th at 7 o'clock out at Finley High School. And it's just a time to, it's about inclusion. It's about inclusion. Including individuals with people out in the community. They come. I know that you've played before.
Yep. It's very badly, but yeah.
I'm sure you did a great job. But it's just that, you know, coming together under one roof and enjoying just a game. Just having fun.
Yeah.
And it is always a success.
And speaking of athletic pursuits, Special Olympics is, I know, a big program. You've got an... Again, I don't mean to put you on the spot. How many Special Olympians do we have?
So I think we have about 180 athletes.
Wow.
And we have several different sports that we offer, and some of them are even leveled to the skill level of the athletes.
Yeah.
But we do have a basketball team and some swimmers going to state this weekend.
So we wish them the best of luck. Yes. For folks who want to learn more about Blanchard Valley Center, about the developmentally disabled community, DD Awareness Month in general,
visit our website, BlanchardValley.org, or follow our Facebook page, Blanchard Valley Center. There's lots of information there.
Part of our conversation earlier this month with Carrie Taylor and Nadine Weininger from Blanchard Valley Center on the occasion of DD Awareness Month. A lot of the, as I said, it was earlier this month, so a lot of the events and things that we talked about in that conversation have already happened. But again, the Blanchard Valley Center Celebrity Basketball Game is happening tonight at Finley High School. Again, doors open at 6, game begins at 7, admission is free, but they'll have lots of fundraisers, so bring some cash. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. And if you want to learn more, you can check our webpage. Go to goodmornings.net.
Information that makes a difference. Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
A follow-up to a story that we had, I believe, earlier this month in the broken news. We said we would follow up, and so we want to be true to our word. Orlando police have now finally recovered those diamond earrings that an alleged thief confessed to swallowing. You remember this story? Originally happened February 26th. The Jathan Gilder was accused of attempting to steal two pair of earrings from Tiffany's. He admitted to law enforcement that he had swallowed the diamonds, and medical scans backed it up, confirmed that he had indeed swallowed the diamonds. Follow-up story, it says here that three of the earrings were recovered, about a week and a half ago, and another was recovered about a week ago. They were recovered. You can fill in the details there in your own mind. Mr. Gilder is now facing charges of robbery and grand theft in the first degree, which I would say I read that story, and they have recovered the diamonds. And what's the old saying that, you know, what woman wouldn't love a pair of diamond earrings from Tiffany's? Well, I can think of at least two pair of diamonds from Tiffany's that no woman would want at this point. You know, it's what do you do with those earrings after they're, well, right now, obviously, they're evidence in Mr. Gilder's trial. But afterwards, what do you do with those? Who would want those afterwards? We'll follow up and see what they do. I don't know what are they going to do with them afterwards. That's the big story. Elsewhere in the broken news, more fun from Florida. Police say a woman who robbed a Broward County Dairy Queen made off with a grand total of a buck and a half. $1.50. 44-year-old Allison Fetting was booked into the Broward County Jail on Friday for allegedly robbing a Dairy Queen late last month. She is accused of taking the tip jar, which contained $1.50. She is now awaiting arraignment. Can you imagine going to jail, being arraigned, standing trial, going to jail for stealing a buck and a half from a tip jar at Dairy Queen? Not exactly a criminal mastermind. Here is another person who may want to rethink the whole life in crime idea, or life of crime idea. Probably not the best career move for Ms. Fetting. Let's see. A couple of other items in the broken news. Three Texas teenagers are under arrest for allegedly plotting to kill their mother. This is nice. The Harris County Sheriff's Office says the siblings, they are accused of chasing their mom out of the house, trying to stab her in the street with kitchen knives. They also assaulted her with a brick, apparently. Investigators say that the mother's injuries were not serious. All three kids, ages 14, 15, and 16, have been booked into juvenile detention on charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And the whole thing was because the teens were upset that mom turned off their Wi-Fi connection. That was what led to the attempt to kill mom, because she cut off their Wi-Fi. Wow. Wow. Okay. Moving on. This from the international file of the broken news. You know, finding a parking spot in a crowded lot can be hard. Especially if you don't have a car. From Winnipeg, Ontario, Canadian woman tried to, according to the CBC, woman decided to stand in a parking spot in an effort to save it for a family member who was en route to, I don't know whether this was a shopping center or maybe a concert venue or a sports venue or something like that. Anyway, crowded parking lot. The family calls and says, we're on our way, save us a parking spot. So she tried to do that by standing in the parking spot and prohibiting anyone from taking it. But another person then pulled up in a vehicle and became upset with a woman who was blocking the spot without a car. And when an ensuing argument did not resolve the situation, the driver decided to just park in the spot anyway, knocking the woman over and trapping her under the car's front tires. Wow, that is must have been one terrific parking spot. The driver that ran the woman over was arrested for assault with a weapon and careless driving. The woman who was run over suffered lower body injuries. She is in stable condition. I just have to wonder, was the parking spot worth it? I guess lesson learned. She'll never do that again. Save a parking spot. Somebody else, man. Speaking of driving stories, a driver on Interstate 55 in Garland, Texas, right? Is where this was. I-55, driver was injured after a turkey flew into their windshield. Apparently the bird was making its way across the interstate. Why did the turkey cross the interstate? And it doesn't really matter now because the turkey obviously is no longer with us. The victim suffered non-life-threatening injuries. But man, can you imagine a turkey flying through your windshield? You're just tootling down the interstate. All of a sudden, bang, there's this turkey that flies into your windshield. If you think that Thanksgiving is the only time it's dangerous for turkeys, well, man, that would be crazy. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report and update of some of the odd and unusual stories making headlines this morning. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
A worldwide organization that makes a difference.
I'm John LaRich with LaRich Chevrolet Cadillac. I am proud to be a Rotarian for many reasons, like our Polio Plus initiative. Since 1985, we've immunized over 3 billion children worldwide and have seen a reduction of cases by 99%.
To become part of an organization that will eradicate polio, consider joining the Findlay Rotary Club. It's easy and very rewarding. Go to FindlayRotary.org and click on Join.
This message provided by WFIN.
And now, your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. This is something that has been very much in the news lately. Opponents of Elon Musk's work heading up the President's Department of Government Efficiency have been taking out their frustrations on Tesla, on the company, on its dealerships, on Tesla vehicles, even confronting Tesla owners. And this, all of this is causing investors in Tesla to become rather nervous about the future of the company and its reputation. Do they have a reason to be concerned? Well, here's what the numbers tell us. As of March 15th, Teslas have accounted for 1.4% of all trade-ins at traditional dealerships, which is a very small number, but keep in mind, this is up from 0.4% a year ago. So nearly three times more Teslas being traded in today than 12 months ago. So more consumers are, in fact, trading in their Teslas. And if the trend holds through the entire month, it would mark Edmunds' highest monthly rate of Tesla trade-ins ever. Also, fewer people appear to be looking to buy a Tesla. Searches on cars.com for used Teslas are down 16% from January and down 7% from 1 year ago. Now, cars.com analyst David Green points out that not all of this is due to the negative publicity and the controversy surrounding the company that we are seeing in the news headlines. He points out that Tesla enjoyed exclusivity and market dominance for quite a long time, but other manufacturers are now getting into the EV space and catching up. And in fact, the numbers bear that out as well. Searches for non-Tesla electric vehicles are up 28% since last year. And as a result of these more Teslas coming into the market and fewer demand, you've got some of the traditional market forces at work here. Mashable reports prices for used Teslas have fallen by 10%, which is a much bigger drop in value than used cars made by other automotive brands. And Reuters points out that these prices will likely fall further as more of those trade-ins reach the market, because that's how the automotive market works. So there is an upside for those who may be interested in purchasing a Tesla. So whether or not all of these negative headlines and this pushback and so on actually represents a brand crisis or just the free market forces of the free market at work, I guess is for you to decide. You can really interpret many of those statistics, many of those data points, really any way you like. Well, it's certainly hard to believe that we are looking at April already, but here we are. Spring keeps trying to spring.
It's trying to spring into spring. It's March still, so it's one of those where, like,
Honestly, we normally, you know, we have chilly evenings and chilly mornings right up until, like, early May, so this is not necessarily a surprise.
No, and I like the easing into, I mean, we're not even a week into spring? No, we're not even a week into spring yet, so, like, we don't need it 70. I know it's supposed to be, like, was it Saturday still? Like, I think it doesn't get warm this weekend, but, like, just ease into...
And that's what we are doing.
Right.
And we are easing it in. But here we are. It is April. We're a quarter into the year. I was thinking this morning, you know, it's March 25th. So it's been like 3 months since Christmas. Exactly. So
only 9 months until.
Well, if you want to look at it that way.
You want to look at it like.
Now, let's not look at it that way. There'll be somebody
on Facebook going, it's this many Fridays until Christmas, right? There's those people.
Let's talk April events. Michelle Rumslag is here from the Hancock Park District. Talk about April events and programs of the Hancock Park District. It is time to celebrate spring.
It is. And it's getting, again, we're open, you know, year round, and then dawn till dusk. So parks, you know, get on out, because some people are a little fair weather, don't want to be out when it's cold, really cold. So, I mean, yeah, we're going to hit the mist. And then also just remind you, right, spring means mud and squish.
That's
right?
Very
so
true.
Just beware, not like all of our trails, because we've got a lot of hard packed trails, but we've got some through our wetlands, and if they're grass or even Blitzenberg comes to mind where there's some, right, they just get a little muddy. So just beware of that.
But that's cool, too, because it really allows you to find out what animals are, you know, getting active now in the spring and all of that.
Right. Mm. Well, and it, you know, not just the rain we're getting, but the ground. We had a good winter with cold. So, I mean, the ground is thawing. And so nature's just it's starting to warm up, and we'll start seeing those few flowers and buds and everything start to open up as we get into more warmer weather of spring.
So not a whole lot of like big events in April so much, but a lot of little stuff.
And so, I mean, it's a great time again for people to get outside again. And so as you know, nature's kind of waking up, and then we're getting more bird activity. So of course we have our winter residents, like your Blue Jays and Cardinals and those that stay year round, but things are starting to migrate through, and that'll pick up all the way through May.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do a variety of bird programs happening. And so one of them that we're doing is coming up on Wednesday, April 9th, and it's called a slow birding hike. So this is for adults. We're meeting at Oakwoods Nature Reserve at the Discovery Center. And so, I mean, birding can be a kind of an overwhelming undertaking, because there's so many birds that are out there, and you've got your calls and all these different things. And so this is just kind of slowing down and just, you know, appreciating the birds for what they are and not looking for the big flashy one, like robins. I think robins are cool, or grackles, those ones you see every day. Mm-hmm. And I just go, oh, it's a robin. But I mean, just appreciating the birds for what they are. And so, again, it's kind of slowing down to really observe the birds, the behavior, that kind of thing. If you got binoculars, great. If not, we will have some provided for you.
Okay.
So, again, this is for our those ages 16 and up. It's free, no registration, but meeting at the Discovery Center on Wednesday, April 9th at 6 p.m.
Okay. So, we'll put that on the calendar. What else is going on in the month of April?
We're going to be out at night. We were talking about that. And Saturday, April 12th is our full moon of April. And so, it's the full pink moon hike on taking place at Arrowland Recreation Area there at the shelter. So meeting at 8:30. Yeah, so all ages are welcome. It's free. Again, don't need to sign up. I've been very hit and miss with my full moons lately. I had fog. I had fog in December. We tried, was it February? I had ice. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed. We don't always see the moon. But
Arrowland's a perfect place, though, if the skies are clear, because it's out there away from town. So yes. Lots of stars, you know, easy to see the moon.
Right, and we're going to be walking in the open area because we do have a little terrain. So it's not the safest to be in the terrain in the evening and stuff in the dark. So we're going to be out heading to Goose Lake and then our open area. I'm hoping, you know, maybe we'll hear some spring peepers or western chorus frogs, American woodcock. So, again, listening for those spring animals that should be out and making noise. Again, trails might be wet, so just wear appropriate footwear even in our grassy area. So, again, all ages are welcome. Just show up 8:30 meeting at the shelter on Saturday, April 12th for our full pink moon hike.
Okay. Anything else to highlight for the month of April here?
For our little kids, we have our Little Hands Nature Club. This is a program that we do kind of throughout the year for our kids ages 3 to 6 with an adult, but other age siblings are welcome to attend. And one in April is taking place on Tuesday, April 15th, and it's Fabulous Frogs. So, I mean, who doesn't like frogs?
Especially kids.
It's kids and it's frogs. Hard for me to, you know, they're definitely one of my favorite. I do like frogs and toads. But kids are going to learn about the parts of a frog. We're going to play leapfrog. And then we're going to hike.
Of course, we're going to play leapfrog.
We have to, right?
Yeah.
This is taking place at Blue Rock Nature Preserve. So it's one of our smaller preserves. We're meeting at the Edgar Avenue parking lot at 10 a.m. But it's perfect for these age kids because there's just small paths. I mean, definitely check it out. There's that large wet area there in park. So it should be hopefully deafening with frog calls, if not toad calls also. But it's a great, again.
And folks can learn the difference.
And they can learn, right. And the different calls, right.
There you
that
go.
That you're hearing them. Because sometimes I think people hear them at night and don't. Maybe know what they are. Am I hearing a bird, hearing a frog? So, again, this is for our kids ages 3 to 6 with an adult. Again, just show up. There's no registration or anything. 10 a.m. April 15th for our Little Hands Nature Club Fabulous Frogs.
Very good. And speaking of the kids, we mentioned last week or last month when you were here last week. It seems like last week, but it's been a month already.
Yeah.
The camp registration is open for summer camps. And you were saying that some of them are actually already full.
They are already full. So we went live March 1st and had a lot of people sign up. So again, HancockParks.com. For summer camps, that is in kind of the marquee. So usually we send you to the program calendar. If you want more April, May programs, that's on there. Mm-hmm. But on that front page, we have a marquee going through. Click on that for summer camps. We'll take you to the full listing. Again, we have for preschool, our adventure day camps. Those are some that are already filled. That's the 6 to 12-year-old. We do a week in June, week in August. There's still availability, but there are a few I noticed the other day that were filled. We've got an art camp. We've got for our 10 to 12s. There's an overnight for the 10 to 14s. So still a lot of availability. But again, it's something where they will fill up. And a lot of them do, especially those one-day camps, they do fill up in April. So again, we've got other, you know, summer programming out there. But if you want to come to summer camps, again, sooner than later, HancockParks.com to check out everything that's listed. And
those
signed up.
And that registration will be open until they are filled.
Yes.
So
yes.
Up there
until
now.
Filled. Because we do have a maximum. Yeah. Most camps are max at 20. Some might be 16. And so some of them only have a few left. So it's one of those that I wouldn't delay if you want, especially the Adventure Day camps, if you want to get signed up for this year.
So start thinking about the next season. And as you mentioned, all of the programming for April and May up there on the calendar on the website now.
Yes.
All right. We've got a link at our webpage, goodmornings.net, if you want to learn more. And we will see you at the parks as we head into the month of spring, or the months of spring. Hopefully we'll get more than just a month worth of spring. But
right. we don't need a fast forward into summer. Yeah. No, we can just spring takes leisurely time.
Absolutely. Such a beautiful time of the year. Michelle Rumschlag with the Hancock Park District with us this morning. Michelle, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. And once again, a reminder, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Visit us online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Silver Blades aren't the only ones taking to the ice in the coming weeks. We'll preview this weekend's Gliding Stars Really Big Rock Show. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.